It's going. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you. We glorify you, and we thank you, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome night because you're in charge. We're being led by your Spirit, Lord. You said those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, and we're all believing by faith that that's where we are, Lord, and we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives. And, Father, I thank you. I thank you that tonight's going to be a special night and that your word would go forth and that the truth would open people's eyes and their ears of understanding, Father, because we know that the gospel, the true gospel does that. It opens up our eyes and ears of understanding. And we come into that realm of being close to you, Lord, and listen to you and being led by your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing it with us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask and I pray right now that if anybody here has any unforgiveness in their hand, in their heart, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you forgive us. And I ask, Lord, that when we do have that unforgiveness, Father, that we're not right. We're not right with you when we have any unforgiveness in our heart. So, Father, I just ask that you help us out with that. Show us any unforgiveness in our heart. And as a matter of fact, in the name of Jesus right now, I bind them up. And I bind up word curses that come on us when we speak them on others. And we know that curses don't light on your people unless there's the cause. So, Father, I just ask and I pray that everybody here that has any unforgiveness, that they would get rid of it. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord. And I now renounce all unforgiveness and every word of criticism, fault-finding, gossip, slander, anger, every word that I've ever spoken against anybody else. And I cast all of those words to the ground. And I release all men right now in the name of Jesus. They're free right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I receive your forgiveness and grace from the word. And I lift up my hands to Jesus and I receive the blood. The blood cleanses me. And this, I hope everybody's praying this prayer with me. Blood cleanses me from every word, curse, and spell. And it's broken over us right now. All worry and anxiety is removed right now in the name of Jesus. All works of fear and intimidation and dread are removed in the name of Jesus. Tiredness, fatigue is removed in the name of Jesus. All guilt, condemnation is removed in the name of Jesus. We have that mind of Christ in Jesus' name. And we're strengthened in all power by the hand of the Lord in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, all religious deception, compromise, complacency, oppression, heaviness, burden, gloom is removed right now. And in Jesus' name, I speak blessings on everybody here. I speak God's peace. I speak His joy, His love, and deliverance in this fellowship and in this meeting tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. We declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be special. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let's see, who is that? Is that you, Pam? No, that's Charlie. Okay. Well, all right. Well, praise God. Everybody free now. We can go ahead and have this meeting, can't we? All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Anybody in prayer requests or testimonies or praise reports? One at a time, one at a time. Come on now. Well, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your freedom. We thank you, Father, for all the freedom you've given us in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, this one's kind of weird, guys, but Jesus is awesome. We actually had a transgender. Our friend's home church actually in another country led this transgender person to the Lord. And there was a lot of confusion, you know, and since they had only came to the Lord a few days prior, they came into, you know, a Zoom group like this. And we were praying for her, and she needed some deliverance because she was really getting, you know, the Lord had showed her that she had a perverse spirit, you know, go figure, you know. But so we were praying for her, and all of a sudden, I kept getting gender identity crisis, something like that, you know. And we knew that kind of what was going on, you know, but there was a lot of confusion. Well, come to find out, we were praying for this girl, Stephanie, that ended up, it was a guy, you know, and in the middle, because you know how it is when people are manifesting, these things are speaking out of her, but they're not going anywhere, you know, and they have to go. So there's a problem, you know. So we asked her, and I said, sister, can you tell me, were you born a guy or a girl? And she goes, oh, I was born David. And we're all like, oh, wow. You know, I've never dealt with anything like that. I've only, you know, been born again for about 7 years. So that was new for me. I'm just like, whoa. And the whole room, we're just like, whoa, you know, because we've been praying for, you know, this woman that's really a man. So anyways, it's a testimony because the Lord worked, and we just explained it. We were real blunt about it, you know, how the Lord feels. And David, said that he wants to do whatever it takes. So keep David in prayer because he's already had the operation and the voice changed. And I mean, the whole nine, you know. So, but yeah, either way, he came to the Lord. And, you know, I have enough faith to believe the Lord can overturn all that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, isn't that awesome, though?
Yeah, yeah, he can reverse all that.
Oh, yeah, but his name's David, if anybody would like to pray for him.
Well, yeah, we'll pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up David to you. And, Lord, I know that you can do whatever it is that needs to be done. We don't put you in the box. We know that you can change this guy back to a guy. We know you can replace everything that he has removed. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that he's a man. He was born a man. You didn't mess up the first time, Lord, and you ain't going to mess up this time. And we praise you, Father, that he wants to be right with you, and he has repented, and he wants whatever you have to offer him, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you are going to make a testimony out of this man, David. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he is now in his mind straightened up. We command those spirits that have perverse spirits that have misled him all these many years to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm sure that he's already been delivered. And, Lord, we thank you that now he's going to be in the Word, studying the Word and place it in his heart to have a hunger for the Word, Lord, and a love for the Word. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to make a great evangelist out of him, or whatever you have in mind for him, Lord. And we praise you, Father, because he can go into that realm and tell people about the demons that controlled him before, that now it's Jesus that controls him. And he straightened his mind up. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
You bet.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
I wanted to ask Tracy, what was David's other name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie? Okay. I want to try and remember that. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I don't know. We got kicked off, so I don't know how long this is going to last. But while I'm on, I got a praise report, and then I'd like you to pray for me. A praise report is, again, the weatherman said the other night that there was little chance of rain for our area, and we just spoke that we were going to get rain. The weatherman wasn't right, and we got a nice, really nice rain again, and that's about the third time this summer that's happened.
Praise God.
And so we just praise the Lord. I'd like you to pray for me. I got it isn't really a pain in my chest. It's a burning I thought first it was my heart, but I don't think it's my heart. I think maybe it's my lung on that left side. So we prayed, and I'd just like you to pray and everyone to agree.
Okay.
And it doesn't really matter what it is, whether it's heart or lung or something else. I know the healing is all the same from the Lord. So.
Amen. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against that infirmity that's trying to attack Marlon. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go from his body right now. All ill comfort, go right now in Jesus' name. Any kind of pain, burning sensation, anything, you go right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have a right there, so you got to go right now in the name of Jesus. We command complete healing from whatever it is that's attacked him in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that that's not going to happen again, because he is bought by the blood of Jesus. And he's covered by the blood of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Marlon is completely healed and set free. And he doesn't have to, he's not going to accept that in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe it, that Marlon's healed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right, Marlon, you healed, brother.
Amen. Thank you.
Done deal. Hey, Missy. Hi, Andrew. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony or praise report? Go ahead, Missy.
I'm not sure if I've mentioned this on the outreach per se, but I know I mentioned it when I was down there. I'm pretty sure when I was down there with y'all in Tennessee. But anyway, my niece is my one niece Esther. She's in a horrible relationship, and she's living with her boyfriend at her boyfriend's father's house, and her boyfriend is abusive, and actually I've heard they're engaged, but anyway, my brother and sister-in-law, basically have just, I guess for lack of a better word, shunned her, in the respect of how it 1 Corinthians 5, says and all, but anyway, because she is a Christian, born again. I'm not sure she's baptized speaking tongues, but they come from that background. But anyway, baptized in the Holy Spirit. But anyway, my other niece, her sister, my niece Anna, had gotten an email from Esther with a picture of her and her mom. Esther with her mom, and she. Because I miss my mama, so that we thought that was a really good sign, that the Lord's working on her heart and all, and my brother said that he gets feedback from stories from different people and stuff like that, and long story short, it seems to him like maybe her boyfriend's dad might kick them out before too long because of whatever reasons. I won't go into it. But anyway, so I just wanted to pray for her and have you all agree that, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are drawing her and just grant her, thank you, Lord, that you're going to grant her repentance unto salvation. And, Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to give Brian and Dora Lee wisdom when it comes to the time that she leaves this guy, Lord, and that you give them the wisdom of knowing what to say and what to do. I know they're little concerned that they want to see that she's really changed, and they don't want to just let her come back home. But Lord, you know, and you let them know what you want them to do, regardless of what they think they see or they don't see, Lord, you guide them by your spirit what to do for Esther. And just thank you, Father, for your protection of your angels around her, Lord, and that she may not go through any more than what is necessary, but to bring her to repentance, Lord. And just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with her, Lord. We thank you, Father, that it's going to happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, you kind of reminded me of something. I got word yesterday that both the twins, Blake and Austin, both have been kicked out of their homes by their wife and girlfriend, and because of the dope and drugs and things like that. And they don't know. They're trying to find a rehab, and they can't find a rehab that'll take them, which is good, I believe, because rehab, all it'll do is detox them, and then they'll be back out on the streets again doing the same stuff again. You know, that's not a cure. That's just a Band-Aid. That's what I've learned over the years, is that these rehab places for drug addicts are just a Band-Aid at best. It's going to take God to take all of that out of them. So if y'all would believe with me, Father, I thank you that you have placed him in a place of unsurety, that they don't know what to do. They can't get into rehab, which is good, I think. I think you're doing that, and I thank you for it, Father. And I know that you're going to take those boys to a place to where they'll give me a call, and then we'll go through some things that you've already told me, and we'll minister deliverance to them, Father, and that they will be on fire for you because of your grace and your mercy upon them, Father. And I thank you, Father, that's going to be soon. You know, we don't like to see our loved ones go through a lot of garbage, but it has to happen sometimes. Father, whatever you have to do, I know I'm just going to keep my eyes on you, and I'm not going to go by what the natural says. I'm not going to go by what, you know, word I get back from their immediate families. I'm just going to believe you, Father, that you're doing a work in both those boys in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I just relish the day when they get to come on the conference call and give their whole testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that with me? That's my grandsons.
Amen.
That's my twin grandsons. They had a birthday yesterday. I think they turned 22. 22 or 23, I can't remember. Years go by quick. Praise God.
That's God that their girlfriends kicked them out. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Both of them just had newborn babies too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they love their children, you know, but they love their drugs more than they do that. And y'all know that's just a demonic. So God's doing a work.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody?
Comment?
Else? Yeah, Mike.
Yes. Good evening, Michael.
Yes.
How are you? It's Michael in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, sir. How are y'all?
Very well. And you?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
Great. We're not going to be able to be on the call tonight because it's been a very emotional day. Our Brother Perry was buried earlier, but we haven't heard or not heard from the Lord regarding giving up our prayers that we submitted to you and a number of other prayer groups that our friends lead around the country in the Lord bringing him back to continue his ministry. I just wanted to come on for a moment and update you. And I also opened up a can of biblical worms on Tuesday regarding the salvation issue and the mark of the beast, and I am doing some research on it. So if it's all right with you, we'd like to come back on. It may not be next Tuesday, but a week from tonight.
Sure.
We'll try for next Tuesday.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I just want to have my biblical sightings in order, and not to argue with you, because that's not what we do, but just so we can learn, because it's an important issue.
Yeah.
And in conclusion, We did have a long conversation with Brother Perry's wife this morning, and she's doing well. She's optimistic. She understands what's going on, why it's happened, her dilemma, and she said she was blessed to be married to such an amazing Christian minister, and we think she'll be all right, but, you know, she is holding the stiff upper lip at this moment.
Okay. Well, let's pray for her. You want to pray for her and let us agree with you that God would give her joy and peace in her heart about Mr. Perry?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Lord, first and foremost, I lift up Michael and this group of kind people that are taking up this charge to pray for the Perry family, as all the children and many of the grandchildren are here today and attended the private family funeral. We just ask you, Lord, to lift up Jenny and Pastor Perry's wife. She's a strong woman of tremendous faith, and she talked about that this morning, her faith and hope. And knowing that you had the perfect plan and that Bill had his boots on and was ready to go into eternity, and she accepts that, but still can't be easy now after losing one husband nearly 40 years ago and now a second husband, and then in her mid-60s, you know, to be alone, this is, Lord, you'll have to be her husband now, obviously, and her father. So we just lift up Jenny to you, Lord, and we ask you to cradle her in your arms and quell her heart and give her peace and understanding and happiness as she moves forward in her life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, Mike, I'll tell you a little something that happened to me when my mother died, and it's just real short. The morning that she died, I had been witnessing to her for quite some time, you know, going in there and sharing word with her and faith and all of that. But the Lord saw fit to take her, and that's fine. But he showed me that morning she was in a hospital bed, and she had been drawn up into a fetal position for many, many years. Couldn't walk, couldn't do any of that stuff. But anyway, when I got there about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't remember what it was, my sister was there. And the Lord gave me a vision as I came in the room of Mother running through the hills of heaven. And it was just amazing to me that God would show me that. And I shared it with my brothers and sisters, my natural brothers and sisters. And, of course, it gave us all peace and joy to know that she's up there waiting on us. And, of course, she's walking now. So that's it.
Thank you so much for sharing that, and God bless you and your folks on the line, and everybody have a blessed rest of the week and a safe week. And we pray a hedge of protection on all of y'all as well. Thank you.
Amen. You as well, you and Yuri both. Thank you, Father, for the
Thank you.
Love you placed in their heart, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, and good night.
All right, good night. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or praise report? Man, you got a shark right behind you, John. That's a shark swimming around. Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah, that's nice. That's pretty. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Praise report. Testimony. Prayer request. Well, I was going to talk about once saved, always saved tonight, but since y'all already know about that, we'll go off on something else. Does anybody have any questions on our salvation and what it is and how it's I don't know, John, if you have gotten into any of David's teachings, or Lynn, any of y'all, either one of y'all have or not, but he has a lot of books on salvation and perfection, and also our fleshly life and how we're supposed to allow it to die that way. Yeah, Dave.
Hey, if you want to go over it again, that's fine. It's up to everybody else, but we may stumble on a few other things. It's up to you.
Well,
there might be some things we missed.
Well, yeah, there's lots of things that we missed, but we also are going to go through it next Thursday.
Okay.
Also with Mike and Yuri, too. But if anybody has any questions about salvation and how it affects us, be glad to take any questions. We'll try to answer them best we can. David has a book called Salvation Instant and Progressive. And in it, he tells us that, and he lines it up with Scripture, that our salvation, when we come to Christ, is instantly manifested in our spirit. The Spirit of Christ comes on us at that time. But then we have to walk out our soul salvation, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, by faith through Christ, and allow Christ to abide in us. And as he abides in us, the flesh starts dropping off, and we have faith to believe that that's happening. And that's just it in a nutshell. There's two kinds of Christians, two kinds. There's the called and the elect. Now, a lot of people get called mixed up, and they say that all the unsaved people in the world, God's calling them. That's not what the Scriptures say. Every instant that the word called is used in the New Testament, it's about Christians or born-again people, God's people, being invited to partake of Jesus Christ in your life. That's what it's for. And that's why Jesus told us, says, many are called, but few are chosen. And the reason he says that is because people have a misconception of what salvation is. Salvation is a race that we're in, that we're all in. And that race is against the clock, that you would bear the fruit of Christ in your life 30, 60, or 100-fold. Not 29 and a half. It has to be at least 30, 60, or 100-fold. The 100-fold manifestation of Christ in your life is when body, soul, and spirit all, and that comes at resurrection. But he wants us to have the whole soul life taken care of. Look, going into this tribulation with... if you're running the race like God wants you to run it, and you're renewing your mind with the Word of God, and, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, you mean every time I stumble that I'm lost? No, that's one of the questions that was brought up last week or Tuesday night. No, you're not. That's just a stumble. You're not lost. You get back up just like David likens it to a baby learning how to walk. You know, a baby will go walking and he'll stumble down, he'll go take a few steps and he'll fall down. But he gets right back up, doesn't he? And he goes a little bit further the next time and a little bit further the next time until he gets it right. That's the way our walk with Christ is. We go until God shows us things in our life. We repent of that. And repent just means to change. It doesn't, you know, you don't sit there and throw snot because you misstep or anything like that. You just repent. You go on, you do what God asks you to do to begin with. And you might stumble two or three times on the same thing. That's okay. God knows that you're running the race. You're in the race. And he's working that out of you if you allow him to do it. But you have to get in the Word of God to get that mind renewed. You have to get into it. You can't allow yourself to sit idly by as the race passes you by, because if you do, you're going to end up, you know, like those people at the white throne judgment. You don't want to do that. But anyways, anybody got anything else they'd like to add to that? That's just salvation in a very, very minute nutshell.
You might also explain manifestation or faith as opposed to manifestation.
Okay. What you got a question, Lenny?
Well, I had a comment. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Can I take the moment? This is I'm kind of new to this whole thing, so I don't think any of you guys really know me. I've been kind of following UBM since late, I guess, 2007. Really, but kind of in the background, just downloading all the time, and I go back to where when David used to be back in Pensacola, and there was Pal Talk, and it was kind of live and all
yeah.
that. So I don't know if you guys all remember all those days.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was a good time. So I've been kind of around quite a bit, and I remember this one time, I think it was just me listening to one of David's teachings, and he mentioned something that resonated with me. And it was, concerning our salvation and, being the elect and predestined. And the way he said it was, I think it was this way, that, yeah, we're elect from the beginning, but there's a process of faith that God uses, and we basically spend our life proving that we are the elect. So basically a person who loses their salvation, really what he's saying is, well, you just proved that you're not the elect.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of swap that thinking and say, well, you weren't the elect. So, you know, that's why you're, cut off, or, you didn't bear fruit. Well, you just proved that you weren't part of that elect. But none of us know who those are. God requires a process of living out our faith or living out our salvation by faith. Even though we're the elect, he still requires that process of working out our salvation by faith. That's kind of how I remember it, and it helped me really get over this mental break, where to wrap your mind around the fact that, yeah, God knows the end from the beginning, and he knew his, and Jesus even prayed, what is it, John, I think 17, when he prayed to God, and he said, I pray for mine, I don't pray for the world, but those that you gave me,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yep.
He prayed those that were the elect, that they, that they would make it through and that they would walk out this life in Christ Jesus till the end. And so that's basically how I see it, is that my life, it's all about proving that I am the elect. Believing it and walking it out by faith and submitting to God and working out that salvation with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was my two cents.
Well, all right, yeah. 2 Corinthians 3:18 kind of puts it in a nutshell for us, doesn't it? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord of Spirit. And that's by faith, isn't it? We look in the mirror every morning, just like we talked about John G. Lake would do. He'd get all spiffied up in his suit. He'd look out and he said, this is Christ going out in this fine-looking suit this morning. I'm going to walk out Jesus. And that's what he wants us to do. And as you do that and you keep your mind and your studies in the Word of God continually, you're going to walk and mature as that mature man, son of God, that's being led by the Spirit of God. Isn't that what the Word said? That the ones that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we do that by reading and studying the Word of God and praying and getting close to God. And Lynn, it is exactly right. It's a walk of faith every step of the way. That's the walk. And not only is it walking in faith, it's acting on that faith. We confess it with our mouth. I am a son of God, bless God. I am a child of God. Not only am I a child, I am walking the walk that God wants me to walk. I can walk just like Jesus. Hey, how are you going to walk like Jesus if you don't read the Word of God? You can't do it. Amen?
Amen.
That's good, Lynn. Go ahead.
To walk by faith, it just it turns into manifestation.
Yes.
More and more and more, and then we're just now proving that we are God's children, the elect.
You know, and that's a great point there. You have to keep in the race. You can't just... I've seen so many people get to a plateau. They get to that plateau, and they still got some more correction to be done, but they don't want to go any further.
Mm-hmm.
And that is dangerous territory, because if you have been reading, you've been studying the Word of God, and you understand the Word of God, and then you get to a plateau and said, I ain't going no further this far as I'm going. Hey, that... I've seen it. I've seen people lose their mind as far as God is concerned. They lose every bit of everything that they've learned and just gone completely backward. We've had people come in here that were full of the Spirit. They got to that point. They had an agenda, and it got to that point. God took everything they knew away from them, went to the Mormon church. That's one of them. We've had other ones come in here and they'll get to that plateau. They know a lot, but then they, for whatever reason, they don't want to go any further. God just erases everything they ever knew about God, and it goes backwards. And that's why it's imperative that we allow God to do the work in us that He wants to do and complete that work. Praise God. And I don't want to try to put any fear in anybody, but a nice healthy dose of fear of God is good. You know, to think that God can erase your mind, we call it the stupid demon around here. It's not that the demon is stupid, but the demon that jumps on them at that time makes them stupid. It does. I'm telling you, I've seen people get in that, just fear with the Holy Spirit, and they get to a point to where they don't want to do it anymore, and God makes a cartoon character out of them. That's the truth. I've seen it happen many, many times. But we just want to get in and endure in the race. Go ahead, John. You want me to help you?
Okay, now I clicked the right yes, I have to click someone. There is a verse that describes this. 1 John 2nd chapter 18. It first talks about the Antichrist. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now have there arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. But in verse 19, it's exactly what you're talking about. It says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they all are not of us.
Amen. That's a good one.
I think it describes exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. It does.
That was 1 John 2nd chapter.
Yep. 19. Verse 18, 19, yeah. That's it. That's it. But you know what? We're believing. God has shown us that some of these people, when the tribulation start, are going to come back in, because we've been praying. We've been praying the prayer of faith for it. He showed us that He wants to bring them back in, but they got to go through a humbling experience first. And so, you know, He said, you can go out and come back. You can go out and come back. Some people can. Some can't. I don't know. That's God's business. That's not mine. Yeah, Dave.
I was going to say, if you are curious about what it is you're going to notice, and if it's something you can catch yourself, you can find, you can see that spirit where you're thinking it's stumbling you, that makes you want to fall out from among the brethren. We've noticed it to be a factious spirit, a spirit mm-hmm. of faction. And there's a lot of teaching on faction on the website. You can understand what that is, because it's a very tricky spirit, a very deceiving spirit. I've had it come on me. I've had it come on me in this website. And what it is, it all of a sudden it comes down to a critical spirit of the brethren, or what somebody says, or what you think. You're all of a sudden thinking thoughts you shouldn't be thinking about somebody that are negative and not good, and you're speaking against them. And so what happens, the first thing I noticed, even too, before I even came on this website, I asked for whether or not there were some people to have fellowship with around here, and because from UBM, and they sent me a list of a few people, and then a woman got a hold of me relatively soon, and now since she's within the first two or three, you know, she's had a couple of really good, really nice paragraphs, nice and sweet, warm, and then she starts slamming David. Well, she didn't agree with everything she said, but she loved Jesus, and I thought, what is this? That's kind of strange. It doesn't sound straight, right? You know, I'm trying to get into fellowship with people, but now this person's coming in here slamming David. I thought, why would that be? And I never really responded back to her, and I didn't understand that then. But what you'll see is you'll see a spirit come on people, and they will be very deceptive, and they don't even have control at that point. And their whole motivation is to separate you from the body of Christ. And the way they do that is to separate you unto themselves one way or another by speaking against somebody in the body. And they'll speak against them without any proof or have any knowledge of any kind of accuracy what they're saying, but they're going to speak like it's truth or whatever they're going to say. And they're going to, especially the leadership, and they're trying to bring you on their side. Once you do that, that spirit comes on you, and you're doing it too. So you got to be very careful about what you receive from people, especially about the leadership. And you, like it says, you can't take an accusation against an elder without there being two or three witnesses. And then even then, it's got to go first, before it comes before the body of Christ, it's got to go to the individual to individual, and they've got to work things out. And then if that doesn't work out, then that person gets to go to somebody else, and those two brothers or two sisters go to that person and try to work out whatever the problem is. And if that doesn't, then it goes to the body. That's a process. If it tries to shoot right from an individual to a body of Christ, or shoot slander or gossip, that's the factious spirit. You got to be careful of that. Just wanted to let you know what you might see in that.
Well, amen. That's probably one of the most dangerous spirits that we deal with, is that factious spirit. And that's why Jesus tells us, or that's why God tells us in Titus chapter 3, verses 10, a factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-content, condemned. David hit on something, because what they're trying to do is divide the body of Christ. And God hates that. He hates division in the body. That's why he put that in there. Now, if there's just something, a sin or something that they're doing out there, he tells us in Matthew 18 and 15 to go to that person by yourself, go in there and explain to him what he's doing wrong, you know. And then if he repents, fine. If he doesn't, you take a witness with you, and then you bring him before the body. If he doesn't do it with the witness, and then you kick him out. But God, you don't see that in churches anymore. But you, in God's true church, it's happening. It's happening. We have to abide by the scriptures, or the church will be leavened. And you don't want leaven, because when you've got leaven in your church, the blessings of God will not flow. The blessings of God will not flow. God talks about that, talks about sanctification, and he talks about the blessings that come on everybody. I'm seeing what Jeremy put up there.
I just want to add one more time. This is a spirit.
Yep.
This is a demonic entity that comes on you. And if you give into it and fall for it and go with it, you become, like Michael's saying, you get this stupid demon on you. And you got to have deliverance at that point. You can kick it off yourself, It's better if you come and admit, hey, this is what's happening to me, and then you get some help quick. People will be right there to be on your side to cast this thing off. You renounce it. If you've said something you shouldn't say, you repent, just like anything else. You can do it in front of the body. You can do it in front of somebody else. Preferably, you get this thing over with quick. You don't want to run with it, because if you do, it's going to take you out of the body of Christ.
Yeah, let me read what Jeremy posted up there. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, that's in Ephesians 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that's so true. That's so true. All right. Thank you, Jeremy. Bless you, brother.
Yeah. Hey. Real quick, let me point that out. Sorry. Just want to jump in real quick. You know, the children of disobedience indicate that there was obedience, but they chose not to follow it. Right? So, you know, the same thing. They're disobedient due to their own wrath because they have not crucified their selves from the spirit of the world. Right? The Antichrist spirit, which correlates with 1 John 2, which we were just talking about earlier on. Right? So they have chosen to maintain that. See, they're lukewarm. They're neither hot nor cold. Right? They have a zeal for God based off their knowledge, but they maintain Jesus in the church without any sacrifice. Right? And the same is true when I take this Bible, right, and I say the sinner's prayer, and then I decide that I'm under liberty. I have no knowledge of sin of what I need to stop doing. But Paul said in Romans 7, I would not have known sin save it for the law. But they don't understand even what that is. So I rub the Bible and I expect magic Jesus to come out like a genie and poof! I'm good. I'm good to go. Here's Jesus. You're ready to go, but he who endures until the end shall be saved. And so what? Endures the persecutions for the offense of the cross. Not an enemy of the cross, right? We're not talking about the world. The enemies of the cross that don't preach sacrifice, but literally have sacrificed the testimony of Jesus Christ within them. Because that's how you overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And if you cannot overcome and endure that, who are you to be preaching righteousness, right? Therefore, the truth is not in you, and you need to repent for being a liar. And, you know, but every man's righteous in their own eyes.
I
mean. Right? So I'm not a liar, are you? Woe unto me.
I'm not, are you?
praise God. See, that's just it. Well, I don't want to receive that.
Well, my flesh.
You're a liar. No, I don't receive that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying initially that if you're righteous in your own eyes, you don't know Christ.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you can make mistakes along the way in doctrine, and we can try to work things out because nobody has it right. We're all working to get this thing right, but we have some people more understanding than others, and like Michael is very gracious to help us through everything. And some things we all stumble on things, like he said something the other night made me stumble, and I call him about it. But, you know, it's not because we're evil, because we don't understand something or understand a concept or... It's just that, you know, we're all a growing process, too. So just because you have some questions about what's being said, that's okay. We can talk about those things. We can work through this. That's what it's all about. But we're not here to speak evil against each other and try to draw people to ourselves. You know, that's the danger. And become somebody we're not supposed to be.
Well, here's the great thing about this walk, this Christian walk that we have. How many of you did this by yourself? Everything that you've gotten came from God. How can you be puffed up, you know? Everything you've gotten comes from God. Everything. Your faith that you have came from God that made you want it. Your salvation came from God, glory to God. You know, you can't claim nothing. And that's why he wants us to be humble all the time. It's nothing that I've done. It's nothing that y'all have done. It's all Jesus that's done it in us. Praise God. And getting back to this factious thing, when somebody comes to you and they say, listen, brother or sister, we're not supposed to talk about behind other people's back about them. You're supposed to go to your brother. If you got a problem with him, you're supposed to go to your brother and take it up with him. Don't come to me. And if you allow that to happen, and they sit there and they talk bad about somebody, and you sitting there listening, that spirit will jump on you. It'll jump. That's how bad that spirit is. It will jump on you and take you over. I'll tell you the first time I had an experience with that. I was just here. I just gotten here in Tennessee, and we had a guy living in the house with us here, and he was factious, and he came up, and I don't know anything about faction, you know. I never had to deal with it before, and he came up in my room, and I had to sit there and listen to him for 2 hours. Now, I sat there and listened to this guy for 2 hours. That's about 5 years ago. And Mo David down, he came, first thing he said, and here's that subtle spirit. He said, you know, said, I trust you, and I trust your judgment. He comes on with, yeah, with that kind of spirit, you know, yeah, building you up. You somebody, you know. I said, okay, come on. Come on, I'll help you out, you know. And the next thing I knew, 2 hours later, I said, look, I'm going to sleep. Why don't you go to sleep? The next day, it's funny. Next day, we was all outside and I was fixing to leave, and me and somebody was going somewhere. And I got about halfway, I got just I don't know, 20, 30 yards away. I stopped the truck in the middle of the driveway, jumped out, and I said, I talked to David. I said, you got something against me? Just out of the clear blue sky. And I jumped back in. He said, he looked at me funny like, he said, no. I got back in the truck and I said, what did I say that for? And I couldn't understand it. And I came back. I said, I don't know why I said it. He said, I do. That's that fascist spirit. You better get that thing off you, boy. So we prayed. I understood how, from that point on, I understood how dangerous that spirit is. But I had to experience it because I'd never experienced it before. You can't sit and listen to somebody sit there and slam somebody else without telling them, hey, no, we're going to stop this right now. You go to that person. That's what Matthew 18:15 says. You have to go to him. You got a problem with him. You go to him. You leave me out of this picture, brother. Go ahead, David.
I'd say one thing for sure to remember here. Most people coming out of denominational environments probably have some kind of faction. I did. And it's not uncommon, just because that's part of that environment. You speak against other people all the time, a lot of places. Maybe not every place, but I see it happen enough where that's pretty common. It's commonplace for them to do that. So that factious spirit might already be there in just a denominational spirit. So it's something we all got to work out of each other or work out of ourselves. So just to make you see maybe how that happens and what it's about.
Well, yeah, we, you know, in the natural, we love to hear gossip, don't we? Back when we was in the flesh, we love to hear gospel. You hear about old Leon down there? Let me tell you what that boy did, you know? You don't know whether it's true or not, what Leon did. Oh, let me tell you about old Michael. Let me tell you what that boy did. You can't sit there and listen to it. And if you do, you're going to get that spirit. You'll be out of there. You won't know what happened. You won't know what hit you. I'm telling you, it'll wipe you clean.
You'll get a lot of that where you work.
Yep.
People
you can't put up with it there. Yeah. Yeah, Andrew.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I think it might be related to what we're talking about. It's about the portion. I can't remember where it is in the Gospels, but it talks about perfume, and it includes a woman who is putting perfume on Jesus, and Judas Iscariot is present, and he's saying something that would show indignation against this woman for wasting this perfume, and Jesus defended her, and it was soon after that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus and went to the priests for the money, the exchange. was Judas Iscariot there behaving in a factious manner, having indignation against first the women, and then Jesus also, because he defended the woman for doing what he did, because he got a message from God as to why he was anointed with the perfume for his burial. So this indignation that was given twice for a disciple, then for Jesus, was this what brought Judas Iscariot to his end? Was this a factious spirit?
The first thing that Jesus knew about Judas was that he was a thief. And that opened the door for everything else that came up on him. He was greedy. He was a thief, as you well know. And he was also kind of ticked off at Jesus because he wanted Jesus to come back as to slay the Romans and to, you know, to beat them and to come in like and just get rid of all the enemies of Israel at one time. That's one of the things. But he had faction in him. Of course he did. And you remember what happened. He had no cause for repentance either, did he? He could not repent. He just couldn't do it. Yeah, David.
That story's in a couple different Gospels. It's interesting. I've looked that over. One, it talks about Judas being the one that got indignant, and he's the one that said it, and he was offended. The other one, it talks about the disciples. So I think you probably have a couple of different views here. You definitely have Judas who was offended, because he probably actually said that, and he was offended. But you also have the disciples that went along with it in their minds. They kind of, Judas. They kind of might have thought, yeah, you're right. But the difference was, they received correction from Jesus at the time. Jesus corrected everybody on the spot, and Judas was offended. Judas had that, that spirit, you're offended. It's
offensive spirit. How's that?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Indignation.
Anyway, it's indignation, but it goes along with factious. It's when you're offended by a lot of things, and you can't forgive because of it. You just
ego?
Yeah, it's in that line. I'll think of it in a minute. Like, it escapes me. But it's another thing there that's part of that. And so
it comes out to be unforgiveness.
It comes out to be unforgiveness. And basically, they're very angry individuals all the time. Yep. They're always picking a fight in their mind with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, it's also important to note what James says about that. Because Jesus said offenses must come, right? So you're going to be offended, right? But it's important to understand what James said. And Paul said the same thing when he said that, you know, I repent not. Paul actually says, I repent not because he offended somebody due to his boldness of speech. He didn't repent for the word of the Lord, right? James corroborates that in James 3, and he says, for many things, throughout James 3, 2, says, for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as perfect man, and he is also able to bridle the whole body, right? And so it's the word of God will offend. But if you offend for a personal nature, right, then that's a completely different animal, you know? And it's the word of God, you know? And so as Christians, you're going to offend people when you preach the word of God. That's what it does, right? So we have to understand and use wisdom to be able to separate soul from spirit and recognize that they know not what they do when you offend them. So, you know, and that's why it's so important, like you said, Brother Dave, when you're talking about Matthew 18, to exhaust that process, right? Because that is love. That is the words of our Lord on how to handle this as a body. But when we don't handle that as a body, then we err into the children of disobedience.
What's the reason God set it up that way in Matthew 18, 15 through 17 is so that the body won't be divided, so that the body would be pure and holy, and there won't be any leaven in it. And if everybody's doing everything that they know to do and counted, they're accounted as righteous, as the word tells us. And so that's why God set up these rules, like Jeremy was talking about, David. You have to have rules. If you don't have rules, you're going to have chaos And that's what we got in the apostate churches nowadays is chaos.
I remember what it was, spirit of rejection.
Oh.
Yeah, the spirit of rejection.
Well, that's a big one too. That spirit of rejection is what takes most people out. It takes most people out. Spirit of rejection and unforgiveness. Those two things right there.
Well, the root's not in them. Right? The root has to be within them. The root of Christ has to be within them. Because if my identity is in what you think of me, I'm never going to be happy. Because your opinion is always going to change.
That's right.
So if I say, then all of a sudden I become jealous because now you're spending too much time with Dave. Right? You're not spending that time with me. Right? I'm not wanting to pick out drapes or nothing like that. I'm just upset because you ditched me. Right?
It's my time to talk now. No, I'm kidding.
Right? Hey, I'm offended. And that wasn't by the words. Right? So, you know, specifically, that's the problem that we have. Our identity has to be within Christ, and first and foremost. Right?
Amen.
The problem is we judge one another, and we're condemned of it. If I speak badly of you, does that not say more of me than it does of you? Right? So by my words, I'm justified. By my words, I'm condemned. And you talk about that spirit of faction. That's what it wants to do. It seeks its own glory, not of the world.
Yep.
Our word, I'm sorry, excuse me.
Well, that's the whole essence of this walk with Christ is to kill the flesh, and that's what God. That's why He brings these trials amongst us, you know, to test us to see, hey, are you dead yet? When He sends that person up, you know, in front of you, well, there's Dave. He's you know, you can't do that. He wants you, the flesh to be off of you. He wants the world to be away from you. Just completely cut away from it. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, that brings to mind an event that happened yesterday. When we were at Bible study, you were telling Sue about people talking, and I said, well, Sue's into that too, because she knows how to make a short story long. Do you remember when I said that?
I try not to, but go ahead.
Well, anyway, I got convicted about that last night, so I called her, you know, and I said, I didn't want to offend you. I'm sorry, you know. And she goes, no, I thought about it, actually, and I think that's good that you said that because that I had to analyze that then. And if I'm dead to Christ, if I'm dead, I won't get offended. So she wasn't offended, and it worked out pretty good.
Well, that's great, and it showed you something too, didn't it? You know, and that's the way God works. Yeah,
well,
we both learn.
Yeah, the Lord dealt with me. That's why I called her, and then she said, "I'm glad you called because," and
amen.
But I'm a cut up like that. I make these comments, and then the Lord says, you know, that wasn't very smart, was it?
I know. I hate it when God does that, too.
Yeah.
He's done it to me a couple of times, too. He's done the same thing to me. I forget. It's been a while back, but I said something smart like what you were talking about, just about somebody, and Amber heard me. She said, that wasn't very Christian-like, you know. And I'm thinking in my mind, well, what do you mean? You know, and then I got to thinking about it. I said, you're right, it wasn't. And I repent. But that's why God put these people around us to bring that to mind, to bring it, to make sure that we're walking like He wants us to walk. Praise God. We're perfect by faith, aren't we? We have manifested perfection by faith. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got anything, any comments?
Previously we were talking, I did want to bring up Romans 8:16. Let me get back to that. Where it kind of helps confirm, I don't know if other people have had this. I've had this. We always look for the Lord for confirmation. And it says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, we're going to get confirmation. You will get confirmation along the way. You will. The Lord's not there to put us in the dark and make us run this race by ourselves. I notice he's always giving me confirmations and just helping along the way. I think all people have probably seen that here. So that would be a very good thing to look for. I look for it. And the Lord does give me things, and I look for every day to see something from the Lord, and I do see things. And I see things when I'm not even looking, and all of a sudden he'll show me something, you know. So I think that's a good positive thing. I think you'll see that with the Lord and his children, and he's the ones he's walking with. Not that I'm saying I can't lose that, but you should have confirmations along the way in your life. If you're not getting that, then maybe you should be questioning, hey, how close am I to the Lord? You know, I need to work on this. Some thoughts.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that Romans 8's rich, boy. It is rich. So is Romans 6.
You know, when you talk about Romans 8, something occurred to me, and it's the way I had to read that. The first verse or so is, now there's no condemnation in Christ for those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, and I read that over and over and over, you know, and it's interesting the way that's put. You walk after the Spirit. If I pursue that Spirit and go, I'm establishing myself. I'm not letting the work be done in me. I'm doing something. Right? Walk after the Spirit. Let him lead. It's impossible to lead a holy life. Impossible. Jesus won't follow you. You have to follow him. Right? Walk after the Spirit, and then these are the signs that'll follow them that believe. So you walk after the Spirit, and the signs follow you.
Yep.
Right? But if I pursue it, then I'm doing it in my own strength. Let him do it in you, and rest. Just rest. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a carnal nature, man, we have to get away from. It's really hard to do it. It really is. You know, and I'm not saying don't vacuum the floor. That's not resting, right? But that's, you know, letting him do the work inside you, right? So I just wanted to say that, you know, just in case.
Throw that in there, huh?
Yeah, well, the different kind of rest is, you know, that's just lazy, right? And now I've said that, so you're
not letting vacuum. Okay.
Either way, better get on that. But yeah, the same thing. Just rest in Christ and follow after the Spirit. Let him lead.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Jeremy's back. Okay, thank you, Lord. Well, hey, Debbie and Denny. We got a new book out, by the way. I just wanted to advertise it. It's pretty good, isn't it? It says, Jesus Will Shepherd the Flock. That's out at Lulu now. We'll probably start that week after next in our Bible study here locally. That's what we do here on Wednesdays. We have a Bible study with the local fellowship in these books. And we just kind of jump around, do whatever we feel led of the Spirit to do, and we go through the whole book, and it really helps all of us. We enjoy it. Right now we're finishing up Salvation Instant and Progressive. Awesome book. One of my favorites. It's one of my favorite. But anyway, that's what we've been doing here. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Who wants to talk about something? Who's got a question about something? Remember Curry Blake? I don't know if I've probably told this story before. If I have, forgive me. I remember Curry Blake went to Lester Summerall back when he was young, and he wanted to know what the will of God for his life was and what he was supposed to do. And Lester Summerall said, be in my office Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and I'll tell you. So this was down in Dallas, and Lester Summerall's in South Bend, Indiana. And so Curry loads his whole family up in an old van, and they hightail it up to Indiana, and he gets up there, and he's bright and early the next morning. He's right there in Lester Summerall's office, and the secretary's sitting there, and he said, I'm here to see Mr. Summerall. She said, well, go right on in there. He's in there. So he walked in there, and Mr. Summerall was sitting there writing something, and he didn't want to interrupt him, so he just stood there until he got through and said a few minutes later, said he laid his pencil down. He said, to know the will of God, read the Word of God, and to do the will of God, do the Word. Do what the Word tells you. He said, to know the will of God, read the Word of God. And to do the will of God, do what the Word tells you. And he said, he went back to writing. And he said, I drove 600 miles up here to see this old man, and that's all he's got to tell me? You know? But he said, I got back, and I got to thinking about that, and he said, he's right. It's just the Word of God is what is our standard to live by. And that's to do the will of God is to do the Word of God. And that's what he was talking about. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Like Curry, he was a mess, boy. I tell you, we used to have some good times many years ago. I hadn't been with him in many years, but I was with him for a couple of years. And we had some good times together. He's a good man of God. Not but about 5'6", 5'7", something like a little old bitty guy, but a short guy. But he's a firebrand, boy. He's on fire for Jesus. There was something I want to read you here out of John G. Lake's Spiritual Hunger. It's pretty good stuff. Y'all mind if I indulge me just a second here? It's pretty good. And he said, a strong man's way to God. He said, musicians talk of an ultimate note. N-O-T-E, note. It is a note not found on any keyboard. It is a peculiar note. A man sits down to tune a piano. He has no guide to the proper key, yet he has an inner guide. That guide is the note that he has in his soul. And the nearer he can bring his instrument into harmony with the note in his soul, the nearer he has attained perfection. There is an ultimate note in the heart of the Christian. It is the note of conscious victory through Jesus Christ. The nearer our life is tuned to that note of conscious victory, the greater the victory that will be evidenced in our life. In my ministry in South Africa, I met a young lady, one of the most beautiful souls I have ever known. One of the remarkable developments in her life after her baptism in the Spirit was that the Spirit of God would come powerfully upon her on occasions, and at such times she would sit down at the piano and translate the music that her soul heard. Other times the Spirit would come upon her so powerfully that she would be caused to sing the heavenly music in some angelic language. God gave her the gift of interpretation so that quite frequently when the Spirit would come upon her, she would re-sing the song in English or Dutch, as the case might be. Her father and mother were both musicians. They soon learned that when the Spirit thus came upon her, they could record the music. The father would stand at one side and take down the words of the song as she sang them, while the mother stood at the other side and recorded the music as she played the music on the instrument. In this way, a great deal of that music was preserved. Some years later, Clara Butts, the great English prima donna, came to Africa, and she was a great lady of song. She had a great voice. Came to Africa. She was singing at the Great Wanderers Hall in Johannesburg. And one evening after the concert, while being entertained at the hotel, I was introduced to her. She said to me, Mr. Lake, I have been anxious to meet you, for I have heard that among your people is a remarkable woman who receives music in the Spirit, apparently of a different realm from ours. I said, yes, that's a fact. She inquired if it would be possible to meet her, and so a meeting was arranged. One evening, we went to her hotel, and as we sat down, Clara Butts said to the young lady, I wish you would sit down and play some of the music I have heard about. She didn't understand that such music came only at such times as the Spirit came powerfully upon the woman. However, the young lady sat down at the piano, and I said to the company, "Let us bow our heads in prayer." And as we did and waited, presently the Spirit of God descended upon her. And then there poured through her soul some of the wondrous, beautiful, heavenly music. I waited to note the effect upon the group. When the song was finished, I looked especially at Clara Butts, who was weeping silently. She rose to her feet, and coming forward to the piano, she reached out her hand, saying, "Young lady, that music belongs to a world that my soul knows little about, and I pray every day of my life that God may permit me to enter. In that realm is the ultimate which my soul sometimes hears, but which I have never been able to touch. Praise be to God." Have any of y'all ever known anybody that did that? I knew a lady from, what's the name of that little town? Bologna, Arkansas. And she could do that. She could sit down at the keyboard and she'd pray, and the Holy Spirit would come on her. I've got three of her discs. But the Holy Spirit would come on her, and the most beautiful music would flow out of her. She would sing. She had a beautiful voice. She would sing. Now, she didn't sell anything. She gave those discs away. And she wasn't anybody that was well known. Nobody ever knew her, actually. Her name was Rose. I can't think of it. But you won't find her on YouTube. You won't find her anywhere, but she's a local gal. And I heard that lady, and she came over and she did a couple of my meetings, you know, outside. And that lady, when the Spirit came on her, you can believe the angels were sitting there helping her. And that when I read that story, that reminded me of that lady. So I've heard at least one of them. And that's why it is imperative that if you are a musician and you lead praise and worship, that you get in the Spirit before these fellowship meetings and seek God for the things that He wants you to sing or to play or to whatever it is, and to bring God's people into that realm of the Spirit. And boy, when you do that, I'm telling you, God will come down. Praise God. And I'll just throw out there. Have y'all ever been in a meeting where the Holy Spirit was using the musicians and you knew that God was there? Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. It's an awesome time. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to that or experience you've had with it? Yeah, Leo.
Well, I just wanted to say that, I sit up front when we have our meetings and we do some music and sing some songs, and there's just sometimes that it is just harmonious in there, and it just moves my soul. It does. I hear everybody and I feel everybody getting involved in worship. And it's amazing sometimes. You know, it doesn't happen every time, but oftentimes it does. So,
well, you know, that's the good thing about it. It can happen every time.
Yeah.
If everybody would come to fellowship, wherever you are, it doesn't make any difference. If you'll come to fellowship with one thing on your mind, you're going to bless God. You're going to bless God with His glory. You know, we're going to praise Him for all those things. I guarantee you, you'll have it every time.
Yeah.
And that's what we're learning, you know. It's a learning curve.
Absolutely.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, what y'all want to talk about? Huh?
Michael?
Yes.
I was thinking earlier when we were talking, kind of wanted to say something. It says that the greatest love is to lay your life down for your friends. And I've looked at the definitions and the meanings of those words. Lay down means to place. And your life is defined as your soul, suke. And the word for means over. And it's used in a genitive sense, which means you're giving your life to someone else so that someone else owns that life. And it's also used in an accusative sense, which means because that person is worth it. You're superior to. And it says that's the greatest love. And it says that Jesus loved us like that. And it says that God loved Jesus like that. And it's kind of interesting in the first epistle of John, it says, you know, the old commandment that we had from the beginning, and then it talks about the new commandment. And it kind of seems they're both the same thing. God is revealing himself in a way that was the same as it's always been, and yet he's revealing himself in a deeper way because he made a reconciliation for the sin of the world because he bore it on himself. If you kind of think about it, you know, if anyone who's ever not really happy with someone else, it's in the end because that person didn't give their soul an attachment to them. And some people might get upset enough so that they might actually even take it. But God tells us to love like that. And that's an amazing love. It says, and I kind of read that as, you know, the hallmark, the royal law, the great commandment, and the fulfillment of all that we've been told to do.
Amen. Amen. That's good, Bill. That's good. We give our, that's what Jesus did. That's what he expects us to do, isn't it? Give our life absolute surrender. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13. Has anybody ever read that one? That's the love chapter. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself or puffeth yourself up. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not its own. Is not provoked. Taketh not account of evil. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall be done away. And where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Guess what, folks? That's fixing to happen. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, and here's the kicker, and the greatest of these is love. So love does away with a lot of stuff, don't it? We got to have love for the meanest, nastiest person that we've encountered. That's the way Stephen, wasn't it Stephen that said when he was stoned to death, don't hold this account to him, Lord, just like Jesus did. Don't hold this account to them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. Now, how many of us can do that, you know? We have to love even our enemies. Thank you, Bill, for bringing that out, brother.
Yes. Do you mind if I say something else?
No, I don't. You go right ahead, brother.
You know, when Jesus was giving this life on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He was doing this for them, and they didn't understand it. They didn't perceive it, and he said, they know not what they do. And yet, when Jesus commands us to love like this, I think that's kind of the end of the law, the point of the law. And if you think about someone whom you might not really like, if you think about them actually doing this, loving in this kind of way, because that's the great commandment, it doesn't matter who they are and what they look like, you can look at them and you can think, this is whom we've been made to be. And in the end, you know, I mean, it's kind of the fulfillment of love your neighbor as yourself. Do to others as you would have others do to you. There's a reciprocity in this kind of a love. And you can think of that. And I mean, to me, that kind of is, when it says greater love, that could mean perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And it's a love that that we've been told to believe in, because that's the kind of love that Jesus gave us. It says we love because he first loved us, and then we can love other people like that too. And it gives you hope and a vision for what God is, what Jesus gave and is expecting from us. But it gives you a hope. You know, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It starts with a hope. And then the faith, you know, it's there because that's what Jesus did. We know that. We believe that. And so we can walk in that. So.
Amen. We can do it by faith. We can ask God to, look, I know that I have, you know, there's certain people, personalities at times that, you know, might irritate us. But if we ask God, Lord, I don't want this garbage in me. I want to love like you love. And he'll take that whatever it is that's inside of you and remove it, and then you won't see anything but the Spirit of Christ in the people that used to irritate you. You'll see the Spirit of Christ in them. And that's essential for this love message that God's got for us, is to see nothing but the Spirit of Christ in people. That's why when I look at Missy, I see the Spirit of Christ. Glory to God. I figured that'd wake you up, girl.
Ditto.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to talk? Let's talk a little more about love. Anybody got some comments on this love message? Yeah, Vanessa.
God's been talking to me about that a lot. And it is, you know, something, of course, that we can't do. And I was thinking of the scripture where it says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. And so that's the, just knowing that is great, because then you know that that's already there, and it's just the faith. I just had the faith that it's there, and it's, and then it'll get manifested, and it's like the, salvation, instant and progressive, you know, just one of those things, of course. But so it's just great to know that he, as we want it, then we realize he produces that in us, because it's already been poured into us, that same love we were reading about in 1 Corinthians 13. So thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Well, all right.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
You remember that Chad asked you last Tuesday night, he got on a conference call, and he asked you about if you could address the having all faith to move mountains and not having love. Do you recall him asking you that?
Yeah. Well, that's just what we just
could you address that?
In what way? In what?
I don't know.
I'm not real sure. Of course, we know. I just got through reading First Corinthians 13,
right.
And it talks a little bit about that. Well, it talks a lot about it. You can have all the gifts of the Spirit. And what God is saying, and not have love. What is love? What is love? What's God's love? That's what we have to understand what it is. And God's love is this.
You're talking about the agape love, correct?
Yes. Well, y'all know where I was going then, don't you? In 1 John, and we're in the second chapter. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And so he goes on and talks about the love that God's looking for is obedience, right? The obedience of God is the love he's looking for. You can remember what Jesus said? People come up, man, I prophesied in your name, Lord. And he said, depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't have the love of Christ in you. You didn't obey the commandments to get rid of the old flesh life. You didn't obey the commandments to get rid of the world. And that's what the love that God's looking for in each one of us, right? Is to get rid of the flesh that old Michael has to go. Jesus has to shine forth. And when that happens, then you have the love of Christ in you. That's the love God's looking for. He's not looking for the gifts. He's not looking for all of that stuff. If you seek the Lord, he says, if you seek me with all your heart, all this other stuff will fall into place, right? So that's the love God's looking for. He's looking for his love, and that's obedience. And he goes through, what's the gifts of the Spirit? I mean, the not the gifts of the Spirit, but the, somebody help me out here.
Fruit?
The
fruit of the Spirit?
Yeah, fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, the nine fruits of the Spirit. And that's Christ's attitude. That's Christ's attributes, I should say, that we should all strive for. Is those attributes of the love, the long suffering, the getting rid of that old flesh lie. Praise God. And to me, that's what God's love is, as opposed to the gifts. Does that make sense to anybody and everybody? Does anybody not think that answered the question? And maybe you could help me out.
Would you say that?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Would you say that love is the ultimate fruit of the Spirit, and that the other attributes are contained in love?
Yeah.
Or would you say that love is just one of the fruits?
What he said, obedience is better than sacrifice, didn't he? Mm. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to the Word of God. When we obey what Jesus told us to do, and that's to lose the flesh, to allow the flesh to be dead, and to take on the attributes of Christ, that is love personified. That's the love God's looking for. He's not looking for that phileo love. He's looking for the agape love. The phileo love is that goosebump love, you know, that you had for your wife when you first met her, or your girlfriend, or whoever, you know. God's looking for obedience. He wants obedience of his people, and the obedience is this, is to allow God to kill the flesh out of you, and to separate you from the world, and to keep your eyes focused on him. And the fruit of the Spirit, like Leon said, the fruit of the Spirit is, in essence, love. David, did you have something you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I was just thinking along that line. So first, for the relationship with God is obedience. That's how he views love, which you brought out. The second is our relationship with each other and how that agape love works. And the way I've been come to understanding what agape means when it comes to each other is you're going to be looking to do that other person nothing but good. You're looking after that man's welfare and that person's welfare, not in any evil way. So it's going to always be that kind of a supportive love. It doesn't, like you said, it's not a, it has to be a gushy, feely love, but you're going to be looking at somebody not to do them any wrong, but to do what's good for them. And by doing that, you're putting that person first. That's agape towards each other. So there's the two relationships. You love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two loves we have to concentrate. Our love with God is obedience. Our love with our neighbors is to love them as ourselves, to do nothing but good for the person.
Amen. That's right. And that love goes through your ministering too. If you sit there and you tell people, these are Christian people, that they're going to go to hell all the time, you know. And I've seen pastors do that, you know. They'll preach a fiery sermon to the people that are already saved, and rather than showing them how to get out of that sin, you know. And that's the mistake most of the apostate churches or the big churches have, is they don't know how to teach people to get out of sin. And that's where they made the mistake. And that's why it's imperative that we understand what the Word of God says in order to teach and preach love to people. It's love when you can tell somebody how to get out of that going around the mountain all the time, you know, and quit doing that, the sin that you're doing, how God can take that sin out of you. You know, you teach them how to do that. You teach them by faith how to do that, that God does it by faith, then they have a way to freedom. But if you just sit there and preach fire and brimstone all the time, that ain't going to do anything but just get people to the altar. They'll get to the altar and they'll repent, but they'll go right on back out and do it again. But when you preach perfection in Christ in obedience to the Word of God, and you preach the things that God's taught you over the years, what perfection is, how to get rid of the flesh, and how to get rid of those root problems, and allow God to do it for you, then you've helped them. And that's what's coming up here in the tribulation as well. He's going to have disciples making disciples making disciples making disciples. It ain't going to be this come to the altar and repent for your sin stuff. What did Jesus tell us? He didn't tell us y'all just come on, let Jesus come into your heart. You're going to be saved. He didn't tell us that. He said, repent and believe. Believe what? Believe what the Word of God says. And that's the salvation message. And that's the love that God wants us to show people.
Michael?
Yeah, let me add to that real quick. I'm going to post this in the chat. You folks will look at that. A lot of people understand this first verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Man, we know that one heart to heart. We tend to overlook the next one. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it. Right? And that's that fire and brimstone right there. Right? And so when I see your sin and I can't let go of that, I can't love you as myself. And that's a major problem that is completely within the body of Christ, because we can't get over us. So, you know, specifically, it's, you know, for God sent his Son not into the world to condemn it, right? But the world through him might be saved. Right? Well, if you represent Jesus Christ, then represent him. Right? Repackage him in your own flesh, in his fleshly ways, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and that's where we err. We err in condemning one another for what they've done. Right? And we can't forgive them. But if you look at it, and we talk about spiritual warfare too, and this is it's really changed the way I looked at things. When Jesus was offended by the Pharisees, he taught right afterwards, he said, whatever you remit unto them. Whatever you retain, you retain. So if they offend me, I keep that. I hold that little pet. That's my sin. I like it. It defines me. Oh, it's so good. This is who I've become. I've been sinned against. Victim, victim. Or I can forgive them and remit it back unto them, recognizing that they're a child of God just like I am, and now he's going to chasten them because they got it. I don't want it. It's like hot potato, but in a biblical sense. So give them their sin back by forgiving them. And that's really super hard to do, because everything inside us wants to say, I know you are, but what am I? And it's just not like that. Don't condemn the world. Forgive the world.
Amen. Jesus never sat up and, you know, he said, go and sin no more. That's it. Go and sin no more. And that's, you know, and that's where God's taking us too, you know. Y'all better quit that. Y'all better quit that sinning, I'm telling you. You're going to hell just as sure as the world is round, man. You're going to hell. You can't do that to people. They know that. The lost people know they're going to hell. You give them what the word says. The word says give them that's what the law is for, is to condemn the lost. Bill, you had something you wanted to say. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. You know, it, this kind of love that we've been commanded to walk in, it's called the royal law of love. And Paul refers to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And it's kind of like a higher law, kind of like an airplane. It's not bound by gravity. It's operating by a different law, higher law. And because of what Paul says there, when you grasp, I think, what this kind of love is about, it sets you free. You're not imprisoned by the old desires, the old everything. It's higher, it's greater, it's over all of those things. And that this kind of love, I think when it's actually really walked in, at least that's the vision that I think I'm seeing, is that there is So there's a little bit of the truth in it. And anything that anyone else is involved in that is not good, it's going to be actually in reality found in Jesus. And in this kind of love, I'm thinking, because it says God is love. And so it's a higher law, and there's a hope, there's a vision that I think we can grasp a hold of. I think that's, I mean, if you look at it like this, I mean, this has come to me, it gives you a bit of an anchor in this regard. So.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Amen. Thank you, Bill. Anybody else? Are you raising your hand, Debbie? Oh, we're going out flying. Oh, she's coming in for a landing. That's Denny. Okay. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share about love?
What God has spoken, been speaking to us lately is some verses we came across about, we've all heard them, but really spoke volumes to us right now. So what's going on in our lives, and God is changing our lives around. And but it's loving him before. Where's one in Matthew? Matthew 11. Let me find it. Well, it talks about he who loves father, mother,
mm-hmm.
son, daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And I think somewhere else it says cannot be my disciple or is not worthy of being my disciple. And loving God above all else, I think is really, it's more impactful to me when you think about people, other people that you know you should love, and then get up there before God and what he would have you do, or in following him, can't put them in front of following God. And then in Deuteronomy 33:9, let me read from yours. I like yours better.
The tribe of Levi
is, that's us, right?
Yeah.
They showed greater loyalty to you than to parents, brothers, or children. They obeyed your commands and were faithful to your covenant. So that's just a strong love right there, too. You're putting God before anybody else. That's love, and that should carry on into other areas of our life and with other people, and producing the fruits of the Spirit, because that love for God that is so important that comes before others in our life.
Amen.
And our own self, it even says. Yea, even your own life.
Yep. I'm trying to find another verse that said that Christ says something to the effect, y'all help me out, he's talking about not sinning even unto blood. Y'all remember where that is?
Where's that at?
In other words, you don't want to sin even if it cost you, your life or your blood.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where it is, but that always struck me as very, very revelationary, I guess, to me, is that's the way we ought to look at sin. Is, man, that ought to be way away from us to not want to sin. For one thing, you get thrashed. God will spank you if you do that willingly.
Amen.
But that's the love God's looking for. He's looking for obedient people. You can help God out a whole lot better when we're in obedience than we can when we're in disobedience, because you can't help him out a bit doing that, because your faith has left you. You don't, you're in disobedience, you're in fear, you're in all of those things. Okay. Well, we're kind of winding down here. Does anybody have a subject or a topic that we'd like to talk about Tuesday night that we can be studying this weekend? Anybody? I thought of something earlier, and I'm trying to remember what it is. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? How about it, Vanessa? You always come up with something good one. I put you on the spot, didn't I? How about this? How about let's talk about the creative power of God in man. The creative power of God in man. Now let's have a discussion. You know what a discussion is? I'm gonna school y'all on what a discussion is. It's a two-way street, okay? Tonight was a good example of a two-way street. Everybody participated, and it was good, and I appreciate it. But the creative power of God in man. You know, the blood of Christ runs through you, through your veins. We talked about this. John G. Lake showed us that in the book, and I thought it was an awesome revelation as well. So let's think about that for a little bit. Think of it in that aspect. All right. Does anybody need any prayer before we go? And also keep bearing in mind about unconditional eternity security for next Thursday as well.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and it's just the creative power of God in your life. Is that what we're... Okay.
In man. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I should do it. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for another great night that you've gotten us through here, Lord. It's been a good night. It's been a teachable night and a learning night for all of us. And I thank you for it, Father. You know, Lord, it's so awesome to see and to hear the maturity that's coming forth from this fellowship you've designed and you've gotten with us, Lord. It's just awesome to see it, Father. I know that people that listen in to this outreach, even though we don't see them, we don't ever talk to them, they learn a lot from this fellowship, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the wisdom that you're giving us. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to do that. You continue to open up our hearts to receive, and not only that, to give out the things that you've given us. Because everybody has a part. You got a part. We got a part. Everybody's got a part in this body of Christ. And we praise you for it, Father. We ask for your protection upon each one of us as we go about doing the things that you have us doing, Lord, this next few days before we meet again. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us all some great sleep time. Not only that, Lord, you're going to give us some great times with you. That's more important than anything. And I thank you, Father, that we do. We sacrifice our life for you, Lord. And we love you because we do love you. And you've placed the love in us to do that, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with all these many wonderful brothers and sisters. We all just feel the love of God in each one of our hearts. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us to die to the flesh. You're teaching us to die to the world. And to come alive in Christ in each one of us. And we thank you for that work that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. God bless you. Let me unmute everybody and stop.